Okay, we're going to just spend some time then thinking about part of that passage that Tim read to us. So if you have a Bible, it would be really helpful if you have it open to Luke chapter 12. That was page 1199 in the Church Bible. Page 1199, Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be thinking particularly about that story that Jesus told. You should be given a sheet on the way in as well. And on that, you'll have a sort of outline of what we're going to be thinking about, just so you can see it as we go through, but also so you can take it away and remember afterwards as well. So, you'll see on the, if you've got that sheet, you'll see on the top, I've got a question. How rich are you? Well, that's a rude question, isn't it, to ask? I mean, I wonder, would you consider yourself rich? Do you think of yourself as well off? Well, I suppose if you were, you know, if you compare your wealth to Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Taylor Swift, to be down there with the kids, then perhaps if you compare yourself to one of those, then your bank balance and your wealth might not seem like very much. Mind it, I mean, compared to some, I mean, mind you, I mustn't assume. I mean, some of you might have a bit stashed away somewhere that I don't know about. But of course, the truth is that compared to many, many people in the world, you and I are rich, aren't we? We might not be as rich as some other people in this room. We might at times struggle to make ends meet. Yeah, of course, I recognize that. But compared to the vast majority of people in this world, you and I are wealthy. When you think that a billion people around the world survive on less than a dollar a day, when you know that 9 million people die each year from hunger-related issues, when you know that we, as a country, throw out 9.5 million tons of food a year, then you realize we're all rich this morning, really. You know, we've got food in our bellies, we've got food in our homes, we've got food in our fridges and our cupboards. And we're rich, and we should be very thankful for that indeed. And that's one of the reasons we're here this morning, to acknowledge how good God is. But in this parable that Jesus told, we have a man who would be considered in that sense rich, and yet in a far more important sense, Jesus says he's poor. In fact, he would be considered by most people as wise and rich, and yet God calls him poor and foolish. So while we're here this morning giving thanks for all that we have and acknowledging we're well off, surely we ought to be interested to know, how would God consider us? Would he consider us rich? Are we rich in his estimation? That's really what I wanted to think about for a while this morning as we look at this parable that Jesus tells. Let me just ask, let's just think first of all, why does Jesus tell the parable? Why does he tell this parable about this rich farmer? Well, Jesus is teaching at this moment, and when we come to in Luke 12, he's teaching a great crowd of people. They're all around, and then suddenly someone from the crowd, a man from the crowd, says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, will you?" I mean, that's pretty tragic to start with, because think about this. This here's a man, he has an opportunity to speak to Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the most amazing person who's ever lived. He's the Son of God come from heaven. He's the wisest, most glorious person ever. And so here's a man, and he has an opportunity to speak to Jesus. He can ask him whatever he wants. He can ask him about his soul. He can ask him about what life's all about, how to get to heaven. And yet, what does he ask him? "Can you help me sort my inheritance out with my brother?" So he's obviously sort of locked in some dispute with his brother, isn't he, about an inheritance. And he obviously doesn't think he's getting his fair share. And he wants Jesus to sort of help him sort it out. And he's been in this crowd. And he's heard Jesus. I mean, Jesus has been teaching some pretty serious things. If you read the first part of chapter 12, I mean, he's been talking about hypocrisy. He's been talking about the judgment day, actually, about not fearing people, but fearing God, who has our eternal destinies in his hands. And this man's been in the crowd, but he's clearly not been listening, has he? He's been consumed, but all he's been thinking about is this thing that he's got on his mind. Now, I wonder what things consume you, what things you think about. You know what? It's very interesting standing at the front here looking at you, because I can often tell, you know, when the lights are on but there's no one at home, when you're sort of here but you're, you know, it's the eyes that give it away, isn't it? That glazed look where you think, I can tell you're thinking about something. What are they thinking about? Well, I wonder, What do you think about the most? I mean, do you just, you know, what fills your thoughts? What are you most concerned about? Is it just the things of this life? You know, making money, doing better. Or maybe just worrying about, you know, how are you going to pay the next bill? Are you going to be able to have enough money to retire? Are you going to be able to afford to retire? You know, is that all that you think about? Well, look how Jesus responds to this man. So look at chapter 12 and verse 14 and 15. He says to him, first of all, he says, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" He's saying, "Look, I haven't come to deal with your financial issues. I've come to deal with something far more important than that." And then he says, "Take heed." Do you see that in verse 15? "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Covetousness, that envying of what other people have, that feeling, I can't be happy unless I have this or that or more or whatever it is. And Jesus says, one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things you have. Life isn't just about stuff and things and more. Now, of course, we've acknowledged today, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. God gives us stuff. The Bible says God gives us things to enjoy. We're going to be thinking about that tonight. There's nothing wrong with having things, but it's our attitude. You know, do we think this is what life's about? Do we think I need more of this? That's the issue. Well, so Jesus then, in the light of that, tells this story about a farmer. So it's good for harvest Thanksgiving. So thankful for our farmers. We do recognize how hard they work. Well, this farmer is a man who most people would consider rich and wise, but God calls him poor and foolish. So let's think about that just for a little while, okay? Stay with me for a little while. Let's think, first of all, about why people would think that he was wise and rich. Why would people think he was wise and rich? Well, because he's a successful farmer. Look at verse 16. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully." So here's this man in terms of money and possessions and comforts. I mean, he's rich. He's a successful farmer. Now, you don't get to be a successful farmer without working hard. And, you know, he's obviously planned well. He's planned well when to plant his crops. He's planned well when to harvest them. And it's all gone well. Indeed, it's gone so well, he hasn't got enough space to store everything. And so he's come up with this plan. He's gonna pull down the barns he's got, and he's going to build some even bigger barns and store everything in that. And as he's sort of drawing his plans for his barns, he's also doing a few calculations as well. And he's worked out that once he's got everything in, he's set for life. He can take it easy. He can sit back. Do you see what he says? He says, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Verse 18, "There I'll store all my crops and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you've got many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" So here's why most people would consider him wise and rich, because he's successful. He's a success story, isn't he? He would have been in the Jerusalem Rich List. If there had been a Hello magazine back then, he'd have featured in it, wouldn't he? They'd have had a picture of him and his plans and everything else. And everyone would have looked on and go, "Wow, this is the life, isn't it? He's going to be able to sit back, take it easy, play a bit of golf, and all's going to be well with him." I don't know, perhaps that's what you aspire to. You know, that's the sort of person you'd be like. Certainly the sort of person that lots of people want to be like and are envious of. But God, in this parable, do you see it there in verse 20? He calls him a fool. And Jesus makes clear that in reality, this man is poor. Poor when it comes to the most important things of all. Poor in God's sight. So, in other words, your fridges and cupboards could be full. You could be a success story. You could have plenty. You could be sat back and taking it easy. And yet, when it comes to the most important things, God, in God's sight, you could be poor. So let's think about why we've thought about why people would think he's rich and wise. Now let's think for a while about why God says he's poor and foolish. I've given you three reasons on the sheet. Why God considers this man poor and foolish. Reason number one, he lived as if his soul could be satisfied with the things that he had. Do you notice in this parable, Jesus has this man addressing his soul. It doesn't come out in all of the versions, but it's there. I think it's a good way. He speaks to his soul. Do you see it there in verse 19? I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. He speaks as if his soul can be satisfied with stuff. Now, the Bible says you and I have a soul. We're not just the physical beings, we have a soul. We're spiritual beings as well as physical beings. That means we're not just made for stuff. We're not just made for things. We're made for God, to know God and have a relationship with God. And ultimately, our souls can only be satisfied, not with things and more, but with God and knowing him. This man thought he could satisfy his soul with just stuff and plenty, but that's never the case. That's why, that whilst we live in a land where we've got loads and loads and more than our grandparents could ever have imagined, really, there's still lots of unrest, isn't there? And dissatisfaction and unhappiness. Why is that? Well, for sure, one reason is because we've lost sight of what we are, who we are, that we have a soul that only knowing God can satisfy. So, we were made for a relationship with God, to enjoy all that God gives us in relationship with him. How unsatisfying would it be in my marriage to Lois if all it was about was Lois sort of cooking my meals and looking after the house and doing my ironing and washing and everything else, and there was no relationship, no love, no conversation, no give and take. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to be, is it? I mean, we all understand that. But that's not how it's also how it's not supposed to be with God and us, that we just have everything that he gives us without a relationship with him. We're made to know the God who made us. So, that's the first reason why he's poor. Because he lived as if his soul could be satisfied with the things that he had. God considers him poor and foolish also because he wasn't prepared for the time when he had to leave them all behind. So this gets a bit serious now. Verse 20, this man, you know, he's got everything sorted. He's a planner, isn't he? Clearly he's a planner. He's worked well. He's sorted himself out. He's got his crops in. He's going to make his barns and sort everything out. He's got spreadsheets and everything, hasn't he? And yet he's not planned for the one certain thing in life. And that's that we die. That we die and we don't know when it will be. So he's making all his plans and preparations, and yet in this parable, this story that Jesus told, this man who thinks he's got loads sorted everything out, Jesus says that in that night his soul is going to be required of him. He's going to die that night. Look at verse 20. God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." That the Greek there carries the idea of something that's been loaned that isn't yours being required back. I've loaned some of you books and you haven't given them back to me yet. And one day I'm going to require them back from you. I don't know all of them actually, but that's the picture here. Your life, my life, it's not my own. It's a gift from God's, and our lives matter, and God's given them to us, and one day he's going to require them back. And God is like saying to this man, you thought your life was your own, you could live it as you wanted, but I gave it to you and I'm going to require it back, and you're going to have to stand before me and face me, and you're not ready and you're a fool. Wow, you think, I just came along to sing a few harvest songs and here we are thinking about dying and judgment and wow. But that's really what this man's, he's not ready for that. So to be rich is to be ready. And the Bible's message is you can be ready. You can have a hope beyond this world. You can have riches that don't just end when you die. They're forever. So let's think about the third thing and then we're done. Third reason this man, God considers this man poor and foolish, because he wasn't rich in the way that really matters. Look at verse 21, the last verse of the parable. Jesus says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Or it's not rich, we could say, in before God, in God's sight. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be rich in God's sight or not be rich in God's sight? Well, this man, like us all, we could put it like this, owed God his obedience and love. So God made this world. He's made us. He's the creator. He makes the rules. He said that we're to love him and love one another. And yet this man and you and I, well, we haven't done that. We haven't given God what he's due, what he owes, what he's owed. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of what we should be. And we're in debt. This man was in debt to God. He had a debt that he couldn't pay. So although he was rich in terms of money, he was bankrupt before God. Now the question is this for us all this morning. How can any of us be rich? How can our debt be paid? How can God look at you and I and say, that person's rich now? Well, here's the way. There's another verse in the Bible. If you've got a Bible, let's turn to it, shall we? So it's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. So it's a bit further on in the Bible. I'd like you to see it, really, because it's a wonderful verse. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. So that is on page, 1,332. It's right at the top of the page there, look, in the corner. Or you can just listen if you want to. It says this: you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's the heart of the gospel, you know. That's the Christian message. Jesus, though rich, though God in heaven, became poor. What does that mean? He came into our world. You children know that, don't you? Jesus Christ came into the world. And what did he come as? A king? Did he live in a palace? No, he was a son of a carpenter. He had nothing at all. But he became poorer than that, didn't he? Because he stood in our place and he died on the cross. He became sin for us. He paid our debt. And he did it so that we can be rich. So what does it mean to be really rich? What does it mean to be rich in God's sight? Well, it means this. It means to have your sins forgiven. It means to have peace with God. It means to know God and live in God's world and relationship with him. It means to be one of his children. And it means to have a home in heaven and a hope beyond this world. That's what it is to be really rich. And that's what's offered to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're called to come and acknowledge our sin, acknowledge our debt, acknowledge that we could never pay it ourselves, and cast ourselves on God's mercy. And God promises he'll clear all our debts. He'll forgive all our sins, and he'll bring us into eternal life. So those of us who are Christians here this morning, while we're acknowledging we're rich in terms of this world's goods, We're giving thanks today, aren't we? Because we're eternally rich. We've got greater riches. We've got our sins forgiven. We know God. Our hearts have been changed. We've got joy and love and peace with God. And those are greater and those are eternal riches. And they're offered to us all this morning. That we can not just thank God for these gifts here, but for the gift of his Son and eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died, but then who rose again from the dead and offers life and peace to us all. The call is to repent, to acknowledge your sin, to recognize who you are and all that God's given you and ask him to have mercy on you. That's the joy of the gospel. That's the heart of the Christian message, that we can have true riches, that we can be rich this morning in God's sight. So that's the question for you to go away with this morning. Are you rich in that way? It's offered to you freely, fully, in the Lord Jesus Christ today.